Hey, we are going on in the study of 1 Corinthians. My name is Lena, and this is Morning Minutes. The study is called Listen Up, Applying Biblical Wisdom to Everyday Life. And we are in this chapter of 5 of 1 Corinthians in verses 6 through 8 today, in the middle of this mess. We are in episode 17, and I call today's teaching The Impact of Sexual Immorality. I'd like to shed on one of the key issues in this church. First key issue was the divisions among the people. Now we get into the sexual immorality that defiled the church. A man was having an incestuous relationship with his father's wife, and it was not a good thing. The church was condoning it by not dealing with it, and maybe they didn't notice it. Maybe they saw it and didn't want to talk about it. We don't know. But chapters 5, verses 6 through 8, listen, Paul writes this. Actually, let me start with verse 4. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The impact of sexual immorality. I finished the last teaching talking about the consequences, and you're to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved. Serious words. And now, the impact of sexual immorality. Number one, the sin of sexual immorality looks private, but impacts the whole. All right? Did you see this conversation about leaven? If you don't cook or bake, you don't know that leaven means yeast. And you don't need a lot of yeast to make a loaf of bread. You just need a touch of yeast. In fact, if you put a lot of yeast, they tell me it ruins the loaf. You don't need a lot. You just need a little. And so a little leaven leavens the whole lump, is what Paul's using this as an analogy, as an illustration to prove this point that sexual immorality might look private. You'd be like, it's not a big deal. He's doing this in his home. It's not our business. But really, it impacts the whole. There is no such a thing as a sexual sin that does not have a wider effect on others. Inevitably, this sexual culture, the sexually, you know, the sin of in the area of sexuality is going to affect others in some way or fashion. I mean, you don't need to be a genius to understand that. It always involves more than one person. There's no such thing as a sexual sin that is contained. And there's no such thing as a sexual sin to be overlooked or ignored. God deals with it because it needs to be dealt with, because he values holiness, because it's too important, because he loves us. And it's too important to leave untended. So the sin of sexual immorality looks private but impacts the whole. God loves his church, the body of Christ. And if a little leaven leavens the whole lump, God will deal with that so that there is, as Paul says, a new lump. Number two, the sin of sexual immorality has been fully forgiven by God, all right? You got to understand, Christ is our Passover lamb. He has been sacrificed. We do have a festival. We celebrate and rejoice because the death of Jesus washed away all of our sins, past, present, and future. There is no such thing as I'm stuck in sexual sin. You're not stuck in sexual sin. You might be stuck in sexual sin today, but you are not stuck in sexual sin. If that's you, you need to hear that the sin of sexual immorality has been fully forgiven by God through the sacrifice of Jesus, your Passover lamb, on the cross. Jesus Christ died for every sexual sin you have ever and will ever commit. Jesus Christ paid a steep price for your sexual sin. That's why this is important. Jesus Christ expects you to keep your new life clean of sexual sin. By the way, a small word for singles, which we're going to talk a lot about singles in the next couple of chapters, but sometimes it's easy to be like, well, I'm sinning. You know, singles, I think one of the sins of singleness can be quite private and be like, well, I'm not affecting anybody. But I do think even in the nature of sexual sin that can tend to be more private, or maybe you watch porn and, you know, you're in the room alone watching, like, what does it affect? It affects everything. There's a whole industry that uses people and abuses people and that is taking advantage of people. Do you see how this is a big issue? Besides just the destruction in this situation of the local church of Corinth, which is why Paul is taking this to task and by the power of the Spirit speaking those words that may be hard to hear but need to be heard. So the sin of sexual immorality looks private but impacts the whole. It has been fully forgiven by God. And number three, the sin of sexual immorality cannot survive under the power of truth. He says, let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of what? Of sincerity and truth. You shed the light of truth on sin, any sin for that matter, and you will find freedom as you repent of it. When you live in the truth, your sexual sin will not survive. All right, it will not survive. You decide today, you resolve, I'm going to live in the truth. You find yourself a godly man or woman. You sit down with them, find your small group leader, your pastor. Tell them of your struggle. Confess your sin to God first. Share it with others for accountability. Shed the light of truth on your area of sin, whatever, however painful it may be. Listen, if Paul can talk about this in a chapter of scripture, and we discuss it 2,000 years later, I guarantee you there's no sin that you can bring about and confess openly in the light of truth that God will not forgive and will help you be delivered from. When you live authentically, you will find the victory that you long for. Not because you can, but because Christ has. He has paid the price. He's living for you and in you. Now all you have to do is surrender to Him. Will you do it today? Can I urge you to do that today? Can I implore, plead with you today? You will find such freedom and joy. Listen, I love you from the bottom of my heart, but that's not what matters the most today. What matters is that God loves you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you. And even now, knowing everything that He knows about you, He still calls out to you and waits with open arms. Come home, come home. Hey, I'll catch you again tomorrow. In the meantime, please remember that it is an awesome thing to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Have an awesome day, and I'll catch you again later.